Hello and welcome to the Family Brand Podcast. My name is Chris. I'm a husband, a father, and an entrepreneur.
My name's Melissa, and I am a wife, mother, former nurse turned real estate investor.
And we believe the greatest gift you can give your child is a last name that stands for something.
Your last name is your family's brand.
If you are a parent who wants to raise your child to know who they are, love who they are, and believe in who they are, this show is for you.
We promise to bring you real and authentic conversations with parents and experts who are committed to making their family their life's most important work.
This show will help you take a stand for your family and to raise your children by design, not default.
Welcome to this week of the Family Brand Podcast. This week I have Corinne Stoko with me. Welcome, Corinne, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this.
Me too. So Corinne and I, we actually met in real life probably 3 years ago now on the North Shore of Hawaii. We had mutual friends, the Taggarts, and we happened to end up on a beach together. And
we have the most epic picture of that day.
We actually do, which I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll use that to promote this episode in part. It's like the most perfect beach and water and sky and, of course, a rainbow.
Yes. That was like the best beach rainbow I've ever seen.
It was good. We'll show you guys so you can see it. And we, after that meeting, we had the chance to be on Corinne's podcast. And we've just stayed in touch on social media ever since then. And I love so many things about following Corinne. And I recently was like, why have we never had her on our podcast before? Because she offers so much. And I think we're going to get into a lot of why I admire her and wanted her onto the podcast today. But specifically today, I wanted to talk about something that Corinne has been talking a lot about lately, which is being CODA-free or about codependence. Can you, well, maybe introduce yourself to the Family Brand audience, and then we'll kind of dive in there.
Okay. Well, Melissa, it's a delight to be on your podcast, and I love that you and I both had, you know, these awesome mutual friends that have inspired us to do big things with our lives. And that's, you know, with Spencer Taggart, he was kind of, and Katie, they were like the, you know, intersecting point of, you know, I have a friend that calls it points of light. So I love to think about that. But anyway, okay. So me, I am a mom of five. I live in South Orange County, and my husband and I moved here when we just had one kid 10 years ago. And around that time, I started my blog about a year before that. It's called Mint Arrow, and it's like a fashion deal blog. I still love it. We still blog Monday through Friday. And a couple of years ago, I felt really strongly that I needed to break off and kind of build my own personal brand as well. So I've been working on that and working on sharing some of the things that I feel really passionate about. One of probably the most is codependency, because that's what I did the 12 steps for. My husband is very open about being a recovering pornography addict. And when we started going to 12-step meetings together, at first it was just to fix him, to heal him. And then I realized that I needed the steps to survive, to be able to go on with my life, because his addiction kind of put me in a rock bottom where I just felt like I could not move on with anything. You know how it is when you're so dysfunctional because there's this huge problem or a person with a problem in your life and you feel like you can't do anything. It's like the thing you go to bed thinking about and you wake up thinking about, and you're like trying to shower or make toast and you're just thinking about it all day, every day. That was me. And so codependency, that's kind of what it is feeling like something else or someone else is holding your happiness and you have no control over that. And so what I started teaching people about recently is what I believe is the opposite of codependency, and I call it CODA-free. And we actually trademarked that name. Awesome. But it just means the opposite of codependency, or being free from codependency. And I'm so passionate not only about that, but to just educate people that it's not like this negative, dirty label, or it doesn't make you like a crazy person. We all have codependent tendencies. And I mean, here's one example. Most of us have had a hard time with a decision at some point, and we need like other people to validate it for us. And we need to, you know, ask everybody else what they think before we make a decision. That's codependency right there. So just being more secure with yourself and understanding that you are in charge of your happiness and nobody else. That's really what being coda-free is all about.
That's really beautiful. And I love that you're sharing more and more about this. When I look back, like in my own journey, I see, you know, when I hear you talking about it online, for example, part of mine and Chris's journey is we were separated and we were headed towards a divorce. And when I look back on that time, I realized that I put so much of my, like, who I was and my happiness in not necessarily his hands, but maybe his hands, but something that was outside of me.
Right.
And I realized, like, and then to even go deeper, I remember, because we had two little boys, they were like 18 months old and a newborn. And so much of my life, the past couple of years prior to that, had been all about the needs of other people.
Right.
And I feel like I almost didn't even know like what I wanted anymore or who I was, because as mothers, it'd been so easy for me to not think about me and what I wanted for so long.
Yes. And motherhood's so beautiful, and it can define many of us. For me, I feel like that's part of my identity. But if that's all of your identity, it will catch up to you eventually, because children are not actually a part of you physically. Like, they do move on and have their own lives, and they get to make their own choices, which you have no control over. So it's a thing, I think, for a lot of moms and for a lot of women that, you know, like I said, that catches up to you eventually when your kids grow up.
If someone's wondering, like sitting here listening, wondering like, do I have any codependent tendencies, or like, what does that actually look like? How do you suggest that people really examine their lives and really see like, am I living in a healthy place as far as codependency?
Right. Well, when you said a minute ago, you had a hard time knowing what do you like? I always picture Julia Roberts in Runaway Bride, where she's finally at the end of the movie trying all the eggs, because she's like, I've always just liked whatever they like. And then she's like, wait, what kind of eggs do I like? She's eating the scrambled eggs and the over easy and poached eggs and trying to figure it out for herself. So there's one tip. But I think another is, you know, are you only okay when other people are validating you enough? Like, other people are making you feel good. And that can happen for, you know, people in their careers. It can happen for moms that are looking around for the other moms to approve of them. It's very much a middle school thing that just follows us, right? Where we kind of have this point in life where children go from just being happy-go-lucky to realizing there's this social construct where you look around and other people tell you you're cool or you fit in or you're okay. And breaking out of that is a process. And for some people, it's a lot more of a process than for others. But I think if you're catching yourself needing validation from other people, or needing like your own mom to tell you that you're doing a good job as a mom, or you need your husband to approve of the way that you're spending your time, things like that, then there's probably some codependency going on inside of you. I think, though, the most common like codependency that I see where people really, really need something deep, and like where I was, is when they have someone who's very troubled in their life. Like, you've got an adult child, or you've got a sibling that you're living with, or maybe, you know, a spouse who has behaviors that are out of control. And so you feel like you have to be their savior. You have to jump in and fix it for them. You have to be checking on them, and you have to clean up the messes that they make. Or maybe you have to get really angry so that they know that what they're doing is wrong. You know, there's lots of different forms of that. But if there is a person in your life who is on a roller coaster, and when they're having a good day, then you can have a good day. But when they're having a bad day, there's no choice but for you to have a bad day. Then you're definitely dealing with some codependency.
So it sounds like the first step would be realizing like, okay, I do realize that this has become part of how I operate, of how my life works. What Where do they go? Where do you go from there after realizing?
Well, I think I always teach people that the first thing that you really need to do is detach. And detaching can feel scary at first because you're like, what if they drown? Or it can feel kind of mean if you've been telling yourself that you are kind because you take care of this person, or it might feel like they might die without you. And what I've found is the opposite is true once you have the courage to detach from someone else and their problems and just lovingly, and to me, this is the most powerful way to do it, but to lovingly hand that person and their problems over to your higher power. So for me, that's God saying, God can do a lot better of a job taking care of my husband and the deep-rooted problems that he has that cause him to want to go to his addiction. That's a much better job for God to do than for me to do. And so if you lovingly detach yourself and hand that problem over to your higher power, that's a really great first step. And if you're not sure how to do it, for me, it was getting down on my knees and just saying, okay, God, like I can't carry this problem anymore and I'm going to give it to you. And it was so powerful and freeing for me. And so for some people that's journaling, or for some people it's like a physical like yoga experience where you're letting go of something. But I think that that's probably the most important thing that you can start with is just detaching yourself from someone else and their problems.
I have a question. I would just love to get your perspective on it. Again, this is probably something that I recognized as a belief that I came into my marriage with, which mm-hmm. is when you become married, you become one, mm-hmm. one, you know, in mind and in heart. And I think for me, that kind of looked like for a time, I just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
And the one identity became like, well, whatever you want, like, we'll just do whatever, whatever you think, whatever you want. How do you, you know, as I've grown, we've grown as a couple, and as I've grown a person, I realize like, I don't think that was what's meant when it says to become one. I love the work of Jennifer Finlayson Fife. She talks about like holding your own mind, like in a relationship. And I just love that idea of becoming like being a more close couple actually looks like being able to hold your own mind, and that how that can actually create more intimacy in a relationship or in a marriage. So this isn't necessarily a question per se, but do you have any thoughts about that, about becoming one versus differentiating yourself?
Yes, and I think a lot of people who are struggling with codependency ask that to themselves or someone else, like, aren't we supposed to go through these things together? Aren't I supposed to be like that person's, you know, one and only, or your right hand for the rest of your life, or, you know, as a maybe like a child, like I am supposed to be their mother, like I'm supposed to be there for them. And what I really think, especially with marriage, where you brought up marriage, like you look at the Bible and it says that you are to cling to, or, you know, to kind of join together. And I know that you said like become one, but I struggled with this too, especially in our faith, where I kind of felt like, and a lot of faiths have this faith tradition where you believe that like there's going to be an afterlife, there's going to be kind of like a how did you live your life, and therefore like where are you going to live, are you going to be able to live with God or not. And I felt like I had to drag my husband to the finish line, like I was going to have to figure out how to save him. And it wasn't until I realized, and I had a really wise bishop who was like our congregational leader, who said, Corinna, it is not your job to save him. And salvation is very individual and personal with the Savior. And when I realized that, and I realized it was Jesus' job to save Neil and not me, it just gave me so much power and freedom to say like, oh, really? Like my spirituality is, that's just between me and God. And where I'm at with him, that's between me and God. And yeah, there's, when two healthy people can come together, there are beautiful things you can do. And it's like really fun. You get to be intimate. And there's like so many great parts of building a life together. But I don't think God meant for us to give up our agency or give up our mind, like you're saying. I think he wants us to bring our best self to the table and allow the other person to come as they're, as you know, wherever they're at. And that's where you can really see what it's intended to be, is like two people at their best coming together, not one person dragging the other in a certain direction.
Yeah, I love that thought about really letting go of other than what you feel like you can bring, bringing your best and trusting that the other person is going to do the same. That's beautiful. And okay, this brings up a point. This is going to feel like a tangent, but I'm like, this is a great place to insert it, because one thing I love about Corinne is that she, so at least from the outside, it seems like so easily brings God into conversations, both on her podcast, Monero Messages, or on Instagram. And I think that that is really admirable that you do that. You've already done it like two or three times in this conversation, which again, I love. Tell me about, I would just love to hear your perspective on that. Like, was that a conscious decision at one point where it was like, I don't know if I'm going to, and then you decided, or did it just, has it always been that way?
It was definitely a conscious decision. And I have to thank one of my mentors, Greg Trube, who was the director of media at the time when I met him for our church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you're familiar with any of our campaigns, he was behind the first Light the World and the Hear Him campaigns. Like, those were kind of his, he really like was the brainchild for those. And he gave a talk that I listened to where he just said, if everyone in this room, and it was a room full of influencers, YouTubers, podcasters, bloggers, whatever, Instagrammers, and he said, if everyone would share their testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the amount of people you could reach. And it was such a high number, in the like hundreds of millions or whatever, that I walked out of there and said, oh, this is why God gave me this opportunity to be an influencer or have a blog. It's not to sell shoes. Like, sure, that's fun and we love to do it, but it's to bring people to the light and to show people the light of Christ. And before that day, I had been so paranoid about, okay, we don't mix business with religion. Like, they need to be separate. And I want everyone to feel like they can be a customer or a follower of Mint Arrow. And then it just shifted for me. It was like, oh, once I realized that that was the actual underlying purpose of all of this blog and influencer stuff happening, it gave me like actual direction. And I think that Neil felt that same way too, where before that he would always ask me like, so what's your plan with this? How big do you want to go with it? And I was always like, I don't know. I'm just kind of letting it happen. But that was the direction we needed. And then it's just been really cool to see God propel us in different directions and show us like what's next. And if you believe in God, if you can make him your business partner, he's the best business partner out there, because he'll show you things that you would never have been able to see yourself, that, you know, others might not see for you, but he can see those things. He can see your full divine potential. And so by, you know, being an instrument in his hands and partnering with him and saying like, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want. Use me as a tool. You can do really incredible things. One other thing I wanted to share too is Clayton Christensen's book, The Power of Everyday Missionaries, completely changed my life. And when I read that, he talks a lot about how Satan, one of his greatest lies is to tell us that business and religion don't mix. And he was like, why? Who came up with that rule? Like, we absolutely can talk about God and how we, you know, tie our faith to our motivation and who we are and what we do. So he was another huge inspiration to me.
Was there ever a moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, and it felt really scary? Or is it felt like after you made that decision, was it basically smooth sailing?
Well, I'm an all-in kind of girl. So the first time I shared about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about our church, I held up a copy of the Book of Mormon and took a picture of it and said, this is my favorite book. Here's why. I read it every day. I feel closer to God. And then Periscope was a thing at the time. And that was like basically what Instagram created live streams to be. But they had this platform where people would go live, and we had built up a pretty good following of several thousand people. So we went live on Periscope with some missionaries, and I announced like the time that we were going to go live on my Instagram, and we lost 3,000 followers overnight. And that was like pre-algorithm, pre-like, you know, when every follower of yours saw every post that you put up. Mm. And I didn't feel nervous about it. I felt like, you know what? God's going to make it up to us. And it's going to be okay. And it has been over and over. So many times where I've been like, oh my gosh. And I want to take the control back myself. And then he says, no, give it back to me. And it's all going to be okay. And that's how it works every time.
Your faith is beautiful. I love learning from you. It's super inspiring to watch how you partner, like you're saying, partner with God in the building of your businesses, and how it becomes even more or different than how you ever intended it for yourself if you had done it on your own.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go. I know recently we are recording this prior to Valentine's Day. It will probably go live just after Valentine's Day. So you have been promoting, I can't remember exactly what it's called. I should have wrote it down, but this idea of self-love. And I know you just recently were talking a lot about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. I taught a self-love seminar last week. We did 4 days in a row of just 20-minute chats about why it's important to have self-love and how to do it. You know, I always find it a little bit frustrating when I take the time out of my schedule to listen to something or, you know, read something or whatever that's kind of like vague and doesn't give real concrete takeaways or examples. And so we just talked about how self-love is so important, not just the oxygen mask that we hear a lot, and not that I disagree with that, but really, like, how do we get down to the nitty-gritty of having sustainable self-confidence? Like, how do you keep that? And how do you keep it when there's storms in life? And how do you speak to yourself? And then how others are speaking to you, and, you know, either verbally or even non-verbally, and how are you internalizing that? So all of those things we covered, and really it was just a way to teach people about codependency without labeling it that way, because all of those are principles of living coda-free or breaking free from codependency. Like, codependency is the need to have other people say you're good enough, or, you know, if hard things happen in life, then you're panicking and feeling like things are out of control, when that's never true. Like, you can always put the control back in your higher power's hands and feel really good about yourself and feel like, okay, I'm not scared. God never motivates from fear, that I trust that I have a purpose in life and that everything is exactly as it should be. I'm a huge believer in that too. So we just went through a lot of that as it relates to self-love. And I really wanted to do it before Valentine's Day, because there is such a push for like relationships and romance and all of that. And I'm like, well, if you can love yourself better, then you're going to bring a better partner to the table. Or even if especially if you don't have a partner and you're out there looking, you're definitely going to attract someone who has better self-worth if you have that really good self-worth too. So those were kind of the reasons that I thought we need to do that. So we did it. It was awesome. We had amazing feedback. And then we made it an evergreen thing on our website so people can go back and take it anytime they want.
Beautiful. We'll recap this at the end, but where can people find that?
It's just at codafree.org, codafree.org. And it's the self-love seminar.
Beautiful. Okay. I have maybe one last, I hope people listening, this doesn't sound all over the place, but like I said, there's some things I love about Corinne. So I'm like, I want to touch on a few of them. Last one being, I love how you are, like you said, you're a mom of five and mm-hmm. you run this business and you have a podcast and you do so many cool things out in the world and impact in so many different ways. And I know that is inspiring for other women to watch and see like what you're able to do. And I know that I've seen before sometimes that you get feedback from people saying like, how do you do it? Like, you do it all. Yeah. Do you have a response to that? Like, when you get questions like that?
I do. I think first of all, it's really important to say, I don't do it all alone. I have a lot of help. So we have a nanny. My husband works from home. And so it enables me to do a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to do if I was a stay-at-home mom and my husband left in the morning and didn't come home till dinner time. And that was the life that we had planned on. And that's just not how it ended up panning out. And so I really feel like over and over, this plays into the codependency thing too, like over and over, whenever I have been tempted to be like, gosh, my motherhood doesn't look like someone else's motherhood. And maybe I'm not doing it right. And maybe they judge me. That's where I go back to like, oh, all that matters is that God knows what I'm doing and that he's cool with it. And if I'm aligned with him, that's truly all that matters. But I think that when we're maybe looking around and comparing and saying like, wow, how's she doing that all? Or wow, why is her life like this? That comparison, I heard this the other day, it was so good. Comparison almost always comes from a place of ingratitude. And so if you can, you know, really feel grateful from your creator with whatever he's given you and then make the best of that and then be willing to just, you know, go where he wants you to go. That's where I think really beautiful things can happen. But that journey is so individual, so specific to who you are and what your family looks like and what stage you're in, you know? So we do a lot of things. And that also has been something that I've accepted and love about myself instead of feel shame about it, that I feel better when I'm like ultra overly productive and I'm doing lots of stuff. And for other people, maybe that's not right. Maybe like a more slow paced life is where they really find joy. So, I mean, I just have to always bring it back to like that relationship with God is what's most important in your motherhood, especially because there's such a temptation to look around and see if everybody else thinks you're doing it right. God is the only person that needs to tell you that you're doing it right.
Love that. I was talking to a friend the other day about a similar thing, but just saying how as she's gotten older, she used to be run so much by like, well, what will my mom think? Or what will your mom think? Or what will, you know, any of these, insert any other person there. But she was saying the same thing as she's gotten older. It's been a combination of like, it only matters what I think. And if you're doing that in partnership with God, what does he think as well?
Yeah. And I have to add one more thing too. I think there's, for a lot of women, there's shame in like getting help or asking for help or hiring help. And for me, I went through that roller coaster too. And with our first Annabelle, well, actually we had two kids at this point, but Neil was working from home. I was working from home. He was doing an MLM business for us, doTERRA. And then I was doing all my fashion blogging stuff. And we kept putting our kid in front of the TV every time we both had a meeting or we both had something going on. And there was one day where I had a meeting, Neil had a meeting, and we were like, okay, let's turn on a movie. And I did. And then I was getting ready for my call and I looked over at her and there was just this, it was just this moment where I said, I'm making this about me and what I don't, it's my pride that I don't want to hire someone to help watch my child during the day, but really like what's best for her. And so when I made it about that, that made it a little bit easier. And I just think that if that's something that you can do and it feels right for you, there shouldn't be any shame in having someone else lighten your load or someone else help you or your family.
I'm glad you included that. Yeah, that's so good. Okay, I have one last thought that I hope this doesn't feel like I'm putting you on the spot, but it's something that I saw you respond to on social media several months ago, and I still remember. It was so good. Talking about comparing yourself to others, a woman had said, she commented on a story or something, and she said, I can't believe you're on a business trip. Like, don't you have a baby?
Yeah.
And you responded and said, it was so beautiful. So I'm going to, if you don't remember, I'll try and jog your memory and then see if you can remember. But you said something to the effect of like, don't you want women like out making change in the world?
Yeah. And I really strongly believe in that. I mean, I feel like culturally, I don't feel like this is doctrine in our church, but culturally, I felt like I was taught like a good woman stays at home with her children and that is the only way. And really what I've come to really love, not just with my own path, but looking around and supporting and seeing so many other women pursue whatever they feel called to do, is that there's so much opportunity for women to make a difference. And they can't do that if they feel like they're, you know, I don't know. There's that, like, yes, family is so important. And yes, you obviously want to be the best mom you can. And it doesn't have to be a this or that. And there are so many women who have so many beautiful talents that the world needs. Like, we don't just want male politicians and male doctors and male lawyers. Like, we want female feminine energy to help make these cultures and make these decisions and make these advances in the world. So for me, I feel very called to do a lot of things in business that another woman maybe isn't. But I think no matter what, the constant rule should be that we champion women. Like, we champion each other, we cheer each other on, because, you know, it's like the Barbie movie. Otherwise, do we really just want men ruling the whole world? We want women, and we want their voices, and we want them to have a place in the world.
Thank you.
We're probably about at the end of time, but I would love to, I know we've talked about so many different things today, so I appreciate you being flexible with wherever this went, but I would love to give you maybe the last word. Is there any advice you would give to families or moms listening today?
Well, I love what you guys do, where you really help families identify who they want to be and what they want to be about. And that's such a cool thing. And I think that just bringing it back to, you know, what feels right for you and what do you feel called to do? What do you feel nudged to do? And so many of us feel like we have to, like, quiet those things or wait till later or wait till it's a good time. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no good time. There's no perfect time where life is going to align and just be super easy and you're going to have tons of extra money and extra time and nothing standing in your way. So I just would encourage you to whatever you feel called to do. And if that's, like, gather women in your neighborhood and start a Bible study, or if it's to do something specific with your family and start a tradition that you haven't started before, or if it's to do something as an entrepreneur, to have the courage to do things that feel right for you and your family, and to not worry about what other people think, to just only worry about what God thinks, because He really is the best business partner and He sees all the divine potential in you.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing so much light with us. Okay, so people can find you at codafree.org. We mentioned that earlier. And then on Instagram, I know you have a couple places. Tell us how to find you on Instagram.
Yeah, so my personal brand is just my name, CorrinStokoe. So Corinne Stokoe. And then we have our blog still, Mint Arrow, where we find great deals on fashion and beauty and fun stuff like that. So I'm on both of those all the time. But if you loved our conversation today, you'll find more of that really on my personal Instagram.
Awesome. Go give Corinne a follow. She's one of my favorite Instagrammers. So
thank you.
Thank you for your time today. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Family Brand Podcast. To say thank you, we have something really awesome we'd love to share with you.
You know, we often hear from families who will tell us that they just feel so overwhelmed because of the demands that are placed on them. They feel like they're constantly being pulled in so many different directions and spread thin, and they're spending time as a family, but they don't feel like it's quality time. They're not really connected and they want to be more intentional. And we can certainly relate, because we felt like that at one point in our family. And so we created a guide that allowed us to really be more confident around how we spend time as a family, and what we say yes to and what we say no to. And it's just brought so much more peace into our home. It's made our lives so much more simple, and we want to share it with you. So if you go to familybrand.com/free, you can download the How to Take Back Your Family's Time guide. And I can promise you, it'll give you more confidence and more peace in your life and in your family.
One last thing, we feel so inspired when we hear from families that we are making a difference for them. We would love it if you would leave us a 5-star rating and a review on the podcast so we can reach even more amazing families. We truly believe that the way we change the world is one family at a time.